Praise the Lord, family. This is Mama T. Welcome back to another Gift of Life show. I'm so glad you joined in, and I am continuing my series on spiritual eyes parables. And we're looking at the parables, the stories that Jesus told in the Gospels. Hallelujah. And I've been focusing on the parable of the sower sowing the seeds. I'm really focused on the seed, you know, because everything begins with the very seeds of life. And the seeds of life is God. When God speaks, His words are like seeds. They just flow out of His mouth, and He creates, and they go into the soil of His invisible universe, and it just creates visible things that we can see. And we are even like the seed of Abraham, you know, and even human beings, you know, we're created with the sperm of the man and the egg of the woman together. You know, they just form this beautiful little fetus, and you know, and so it's just life is just begins with the seeds of God's word, His love, and His caring for us. And so He uses the term seed and in the parables a lot, because during Jesus's time, you know, that was a real agricultural farming kind of a environment, so the people understood the term of sowing the seeds. And so you have to go back and look at the other episodes, Spiritual Eyes Parables, at www.lovebyexample.com, and I have a lot of them there. But you can, this is series number 9, but you just look at them from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and I talk about different parables, so you can just listen to those and get caught up. But today I'm going to talk about why, or what does the Bible say about sowing the seeds, or about sowing and reaping, I should say. Because really, you know, the world might cause it a cause and effect, but really, everything that you sow, you are going to reap. That's just what the Lord said in Galatians. Look at, let me just read this. He says, be not deceived. This is Paul in Galatians chapter 6. He says, starting with verse 7, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For if he sows to the flesh, he will reap from the flesh corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he will reap from the Spirit everlasting life. And so, bottom line, I have a whole page of different scriptures about sowing and reaping. And basically, I like this little saying that I picked up somewhere, but it's true. It says, sow a thought. Now remember, I'm really on this. Everything begins and ends with a thought. Either God's thoughts, God's seeds of life, or Satan's thoughts, which are basically seeds of death. You only have two choices, and only two voices are speaking, and they're sown into the soil of our mind when we believe them. So, but I have, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character or a personality, whichever word you want to use. Sow a character and a personality, and you reap a destiny. So see, a lot of people think, they don't think about that their words are like seeds, because the scripture says in Proverbs 18 that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat its fruit. So your words that come from your thought life, and when you speak them, you are speaking seeds. Just think of them as you're just scattering seeds. And so you want to be careful of what kind of seeds that you are sowing, because you will reap. That's what we just read. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. So if you don't like your destiny, if you don't like your now, your future right now, then only you can change it by going back and pulling up those toxic seeds and replenishing your mind, the soil of your mind, with God's thoughts, which are life. Because He said in Deuteronomy 30, 19, I love that, I've given you blessings and cursing, life and death. And He says, choose life so you and your family can live. So, okay, let me get into my notes here. What does the Bible say about sowing and reaping? As I said earlier, that at that time, Jesus used many parables that involved the farming life, and that's because that was the area of farming and agriculture that particular time that the people were very, very familiar with. And sowing and reaping is a law in the natural world as well as in the spiritual world. On the third day of creation, God commanded the earth to bring forth living plants bearing seeds and fruits with seeds in it. Look at that. Genesis 1:12. These plants were then given to man for food. Verse 29. Ever since the beginning of mankind, that he has understood that the process of sowing and reaping had to apply for his benefit. So God created the seeds to be sown into the ground to bring forth fruit. All right. And to bring forth a harvest. The same thing in the spiritual realm with our words. God uses the law of sowing and reaping to bring blessings for us. Oh my gosh. God's blessings come generally to the whole world as he sends the sun and the rain to the just and the unjust. Look at that. Matthew 5:45. In some cases, his blessings come from more specifically to those in his choosing, like Isaac in Genesis 26:12, that says that Isaac sold a crop and received 100-fold in one season because the Lord targeted him for a blessing. But you know what? We've been blessed beyond Isaac. You know why? Because in Galatians chapter 3, it says that Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. And it also says that if we are Christ's, that we are Abraham's seed. We are heirs of Abraham and joint heirs with Christ because we have been born again. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation alone, nothing added, nothing taken away. Christ died on the cross for you. You received him as your Savior, Lord. Then that means for all eternity, you're going to live forever with God. And already you have his incorruptible seed living on the inside of you. You are partakers of his divine nature, of his divine seed. That's 1 Peter 1:3-23. And that's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Because we are joint heirs with the seed of righteousness. And that seed is Jesus Christ. The seed of Abraham. The seed of David. The seed of God. Because that was God in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That you have to just believe what I just said there, all by faith, because you can't see it. That's why God rewards faith and faithfulness. Just look at those parables. That parable, we won't go there, but in Matthew 25, the one that had one talent, two talents, and five talents. And the ones that were faithful with their talents and reproduced and planted their seeds, they were rewarded. But the one that was afraid and hid their seeds, they weren't rewarded. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says that God rewards those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those. So you got to sow the seed. The seed is not yours in the first place. It is a seed that God has given you. And when I say seed, I'm talking about your words. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about the things that you do and say. Everything you do and say, is look at it as a seed. Look at the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation as a bag of spiritual seeds. And God has given you those seeds inside and outside for you to sow into someone's life. First, sow into your own. That's what we're busy about, detoxing these weeds out of our mind, these toxic thoughts that have come from the enemy, and replacing them by memorizing, meditating, and mouthing the Word of God. Hallelujah. It says Israel's gratefulness for God's yearly blessing was expressed in the Feast of Fruits, when the first of the harvest was brought to the Lord as an offering, Exodus 23:19. They did like a wave offering. When Israel planted the seeds and the first crop that they got, they took it and they gave it to the Lord. And that's just like in our garden that we have here. Our first crop that we got, we did a little tiny wave offering to the Lord because that was the first evidence. The first crop that we saw was the evidence that more was getting ready to come. And boy, you should see that garden. We've been eating out of that garden and sharing out of that garden. So many things have been growing because, you know, sowing and seeing is multiplying, really. It really is. You put one seed in the ground and you're going to multiply 30, 60, 100 fold over. That's just the way God designed it. That's why it's important for us to be witnessing and sharing our faith to strangers, to family, to friends, some kind of way, sowing the seeds, evangelizing, so that God's word can reproduce a new life in people who don't know him. Hallelujah. Sowing and reaping is also, like I said, in the spiritual world. It's a law in the spiritual world. It is more than just an agricultural principle. It's real. I read it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. There are natural consequences for our actions, and there's spiritual consequences for our actions. The world operates under the law of cause and effect, but there is no way around it. Every time you choose an action, every time you choose a thought, you are going to reap the consequences of those thoughts and actions, whether you are aware of it or connected the dots or not. That's why it's important to know the scriptures. And what we're learning to do, we are memorizing large portions of scriptures in Ephesians and Romans 6, 7, and 8. Because in Romans 8, it talks about that, the carnal mind and the spiritual mind, or the fleshly, earthly, five sense realm, thoughts and speech and actions versus the spiritual. One produces death and the other produces life. So you want to make sure that your life is producing and your words are producing life and speaking blessings over people and being set free from the demonic, toxic sowing seeds that Satan has caused people to adopt, although they have the power to choose not to. So we reap the kind of, we reap in kind to what we sow. Those who plant apple seeds should expect a harvest of apples. Those who sow anger should expect and receive what anger naturally produces. And I posted on Facebook today, let's see if I can find that. I posted on Facebook today a picture about anger, because I'm discovering that many believers, bless their hearts, are angry. And they're trapped in this anger. And because they're trapped in this anger, they are sowing and reaping consequences that are not pleasant to them. And if you read, I here it is. I'll just read this. This is what I text today, or what I posted on Facebook. And I love it because it's so liberating if you just believe that everything that we think and say and do starts in the spiritual realm in a form of thoughts. And either God's speaking or, well, they're both speaking. God speaking and Satan speaking. But we get to choose. And a lot of believers are not aware of their thought life. This is why I love my coach, Dr. Leaf, her teaching. You should check her out. Go to drleaf.com. She's got a lot of blogs, a lot of podcasts to help you to understand that we are responsible for our thought life. And our mind is separate from is different than our brain. Our mind tells our brain what to do. Our brain is not the God of our being. Our mind and our spirit are controlled by God, the God. And believers have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. We can think divine, godly thoughts that will control our emotions and will control our brain and will control our body. That's how it works. And that's what my book is all about. Do you see what I see? Using these four P's to help explain this process of spirit, soul, and body and brain. But here's what I wrote about this anger. This text, I have a picture of a lady. She's like pulling her hair out. And you can go to my Facebook page, Tony Gatlin, and look at that. But I said, this text is for any believer who is trapped in anger. I said, detoxing self-focused anger using forgiveness. Now, there is a healthy anger, God kind of anger, and there's selfish anger. See, the difference is when you're angry, and it's not healthy, it's because you're angry because somebody did something to you that you didn't like. Somebody crossed the line. Someone did something to you, and it might be real and legitimate. But you can't let it control you and trap you. See, God's anger is a holy anger. And when your focus is on what God says and what he says about anger, then you won't let your anger against people control you. So I said, only way that we can get rid of this anger, I believe, is through forgiveness. You must forgive yourself and forgive others. If you ignore this, or you're not even aware of it, you're not dealing with it, and it talks about this, it says that Satan is allowed to poison you with his toxic, unforgiving, self-inflicting, toxic thoughts with anger. It just builds and it festers and it just goes over. I mean, that those toxic thoughts just go right back down to the non-conscious level when they're not dealt with quickly. When offenses come to you, you need to deal with them right away. And so I gave this verse, 2 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10. And I said, especially read verse 11. Because verse 11 talks about when unforgiveness basically is not dealt with, and you don't forgive, and you hold on to that anger, you hold on to your rights, what you think should have happened to you, and what you think that shouldn't have happened to you, and so therefore you're holding back and blaming others, then what happens is you give Satan opportunity to take advantage of you. That's what it says in that particular passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 through 11. Read it. It's right there. So it's important that you let this anger go. And because if you don't, again, you are sowing into the flesh. You are sowing those thoughts into your mind, into your soul, into your brain, and into your body. And your brain produces these toxic-looking dendrites with these contaminated hormones and chemicals, causing a lot of chemical imbalances. And then you respond to them. So it's very important that you get rid of those toxic anger thoughts and replace them with forgiveness. First, to forgive yourself. Go to God and tell him, thank you for forgiving me. You don't have to even ask him to forgive you, because he already did at the cross in Jesus Christ. And if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So just go and talk to him if you're holding anger or bitterness. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, I believe 15, that a root of bitterness will spring up and trouble you. And bitterness, now you can't see bitterness, it's because it comes in a form of a thought, but that comes from Satan, not God. God is not the author of confusion and bitterness and anger. No, that comes from Satan. So you need to deal with this, because this can totally affect your very future. Remember, you sow a thought, you reap an action, you sow an action, you reap a habit, you sow a habit, it forms your character and your personality, and you keep doing that, you sow a character and a personality, you're going to reap your destiny in your future. So again, just remember, this law of sowing and reaping is so important. And so it's very important that you understand that living a life in the flesh, living a life without including God in your life, and living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit, and you're living in the flesh. That's what it says in Romans. And you must expect the flesh harvest if that's what you're sowing from. Don't think that if you plant thorn bushes, seeds, that you're going to get a rose garden. It just doesn't work that way. The seed that you plant is going to produce the kind of seed that it is. And as I said, we reap in kind what we sow. Okay. We reap proportionally to what we sow. I love this part. The rule is, the more seeds planted, the more fruit invested. The more seeds planted, the more fruit harvest. The Bible applies this law, I love this, to our financial giving and giving. Those who sow generously will be blessed more than those who don't. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This principle is not concerned with the amount of the gift, but the spirit in which it is given. God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. I love that. Remember that woman, that widow, that just gave her little mites? God noticed her giving and said in Luke 21, 2 and 3, that she gave more than all those people that had a lot of money. Because he looks at the heart attitude that she had. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. So again, if your finances are funny, then check out the seeds you've been planting. Are you planning generously in those areas? Are you giving generously, or are you giving grudgingly? You know, are you stingy in your giving as far as money goes? Are you always thinking about how you can make a buck and this is for me and I got to save this? Or are you giving? And that's what I learned in Luke 16 about giving. And so it's like you just need to realize that how you sow is what you're going to reap. Sowing and reaping is used as a metaphor too for death and resurrection. When Paul discusses of the doctrine of resurrection of the body, he uses the analogy of planting a seed to illustrate the physical death. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in the natural body and is raised in the spiritual body. See, I love this. A seed may die when it falls to the ground, but that is not the end of its brings life. That's John 12:24. It said, Jesus said, most assuredly, unless this grain of wheat falls to the ground, oh my gosh, and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. Isn't that beautiful? So he's saying this grain of wheat, it has to fall to the ground and die. Because if it doesn't, it will remain and it won't produce fruit. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. Oh, I just love this. This is just beautiful about sowing and reaping. We reap more than what we sow. In other words, the law of sowing and reaping is related to the law of multiplication. Jesus spoke a seed that brought forth, he spoke about the seed that will bring forth 160 and 30 times what is sown, Matthew 13:8. One grain of wheat produces a whole head of grain. In the same way, one little fib, one little lie, one little lying thought can produce an out-of-control frenzy of falsehood and lies and fictions. Sow to the wind and reap to the whirlwind, Hosea 8:7. Positively, one kind deed can result in a blessing that will last for a lifetime. You see that, brothers and sisters? It is so important for us to understand this principle of the sower sowing the seed. Remember Jesus said in Mark 4:13 that if we understand this parable of the sower sowing the seed, we'll understand all the other parables. And I believe the Lord just wants us to understand as brothers and sisters in the body of Jesus Christ that we are responsible for these seeds that he has given us. Now remember, when I say seeds, I'm talking about his words. His words. That God speaks, and when he speaks life. And you know, when you think about Genesis, in Genesis 3:10, I believe it's 10, where Adam and Eve sinned, you know, they said, God said, where are you? And they said, we heard your voice, God's voice, speaking. He's thinking a thought. God's thinking a thought, and he speaks. So Adam and Eve said, we heard your voice, and we were afraid, and we hid. Look at the order. Voice, God's word, his seeds, and then the emotion. That's what comes next. They were afraid, and then they did the action, and then they hid. And if you look at Matthew 25:23, 24, and 25, about the parable of the talents, the one that didn't sow his talent, he said, I was afraid. I believe it's 25:23. He says, Matthew 25:23, I was afraid and I hid. So see, your thoughts come first, then the emotions, and then the actions. So it's very, very important that you understand that we are responsible for our thought life. And that's why God says, guard your heart in Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Talking about your mind, the garden, the soil of your mind. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. And then he also says in that same section in Proverbs 4:22, he talks about that the word of God, let's see if I can find it really quick. He says the word of God brings health to your body. And I've already mentioned this before that a scientist, Dr. Leaf says, and different scientists have discovered that over 75 to 98% of all mental, physical, and spiritual illness comes from people's thoughts life. Isn't that something? People's thought life brings on sickness. So it's important. And why is that? Because we can choose life or death. There's only Satan and God. And I want to leave you with this last word right here. Here it is. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life." I love that. They are health to all your flesh. So if you are sick in your body, think about how you're thinking. Go back and think about how you're thinking, because the seed is not yours. The seed has been given to you for you to sow in the name of Jesus. I love you.
To be yours, to the soul.